As we gather, our scripture today is from 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, starting at the 13th verse. This is the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. Of course, it was a Greek-based church. He wrote this letter to these early Christians, helping them to understand the power of resurrection, and as the people of God, how we should see things, how we should deal with the world we're living in. And this indeed is very, not only relevant, but it's very important we understand this ability we have, the ability of hope, of faith. He says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. So we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to God's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us to see that indeed you lift us up. And here today we are coming as a people who need to be lifted up. Lifted up with our heavy hearts and our burdens. Lifted up from the shame and the pain of this world. Lifted up from the weight of all the things that are happening. Lord, let us be a people who rise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I see the motion of the world. Every day we wake and get up. The sun rises, it comes up. There's a motion to all things. I saw that a lot when I lived on the Outer Banks, and I would go over to the ocean, usually at lunchtime. There was a chicken place over there, and I'd get me some chicken and go sit right there by the pier and look at the waves coming in and the motion of the waves and how they would reach a crest and then they would collapse on the sand. I saw the same thing when we lived in the mountains and stone and all the mountains that surround us over there. It's over in the western part of the state, and how the mountains rise up and then they go down into valleys. How God has made into the world we live a pattern that should help us to see the power of salvation. And that's what we are hearing here from Paul as he shares with this early church. We want you to understand, he's saying, that those who fall asleep will rise. By yesterday, I was sharing with the other pastor who came and was part of the service that we are a resurrection people. We believe that we not just will die, but we will rise again in the power of Jesus the Christ. Now, I can tell you it's hard. It's hard to see that, but let us keep in mind the faith we have, and that faith is that he rose. The reason we can rise is Jesus has risen. He has made the pathway, he has made the pattern, he has made the salvation accessible so that we can rise. In other words, the reason we have hope, and frankly, we're even here today, is because he rose. We wouldn't be here if we didn't believe Jesus rose from the dead. In fact, our whole faith is based on the understanding that Jesus rose there on Easter morning, that he rose from the grave. He rose, and his rising empowers us to rise up also. In fact, that's one of the great hymns of the church, Rise Up, O Men of God, where it talks about we need to be done with lesser things and realize what we're about, that Jesus is our risen Lord. Not only did he die on the cross, and your faith needs to be centered on the cross, understand the empty tomb and that he rose. Now, when this is being shared by Paul, he's saying, I want you to know that those who have fallen asleep, you should not grieve like the rest of man who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. That's important. That's important we understand that. It's important this morning in that little church in Texas, even though half of their congregation is gone, and many of them being children, that we as the faithful can come alongside of them and say, we believe that these children, these individuals who are worshiping God, will rise with Jesus. We need to understand that is central to our hope, this risen Lord that we worship. Now how do we live that out? We're talking about faith here, believing that we will rise again. The death will not hold us. The death will not hold us down. And like the scripture says, where, O death, is your sting? See, we believe in the hope of resurrection. We are a resurrection people. So how do we deal with a world that will kick you down? A world that will knock you down? A world that will shoot you down? How do we deal with that? Years ago, there was a bully in school. You know, being a preacher's kid, I had to go to a lot of schools. My father moved about every 2 years. That was the way the conference used to be, with a lot of rapid-fire moves. And being a new kid almost all the time in a school, I had to establish myself, and sometimes the bullies saw it as an opportunity to take advantage of a situation. And there was one particular bully that I had to deal with one time, and he kept saying he was going to beat me up and knock me down, and he was a big boy too. And I kept talking, and I'd backpedal, and I'd try to stay away from him because I didn't want to engage with him. And finally, I went to my dad, and I said, what do I do? I said, this guy's going to beat me up. And he says, Jerome, if he knocks you down, you get back up again. I said, well, I don't want to be knocked down. He said, well, if he knocks you down, I said, maybe I'll knock him down. He said, I don't know. He's a big boy. He'll probably knock you down, but you need to know something. You get up again. And mama's going, George, what are you telling him? And my father's saying, I'm just teaching him something. And I said, okay, well, I can get up, but what if he knocks me down? He said, you get up again. And you tell him, every time you knock me down, I'll come back every day, and you keep knocking me down, but one of these days, I'm going to knock you down. See, we in the faith have to understand this isn't the one deal. This isn't the one punch. The devil can't take us out with one shot. Do you think that we in the Christian church are going to back down because he entered that little church in Texas and did what he did? They set us on fire in the early days in the Roman Empire. They persecuted us. They fed us to the lions. They called us bad names. They persecuted our families. The church has been in warfare since it started because it is about rising. We will rise. That's what we're going to do. So here's what we're going to do. We're not going to be afraid. The bully thinks he's going to knock us down. We're going to get back up. And sisters and brothers, I can say that when you get back up, you're not only stronger, but you're more determined because faith sees that. And I understand life is hard. I understand it's difficult. I understand sorrows knock us down and sadness knocks us down. And sometimes illness knocks us down and relationships knock us down. And other people, they do things that knock us down. And it seems like the government, it knocks us down. And the society, it knocks us down. And we're constantly being pushed down. Well, we're not some other state that believes we're going to rise up with some political solution. There is no political solution to this mess. What it simply amounts to is there's a world that is lost, and the devil's trying to beat us down. And he's been working on this since the very beginning. He was there in the garden with Adam and Eve. He was beating them down. He was trying to run them out. And God made a mark upon them that they would indeed be blessed. See, he is giving us the ability to rise again. But I know some don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to get up. Because I get up today, I've got to face the things I've got to face. How would we get up? Well, sometimes we've got to think about it a little bit. And that alarm clock, it reminds us to get up. But there's a point where we got to move. We have to move. We have to do what God would have us do. We got to take our feet and we got to move them. We got to move them off the bed. We got to get them on the floor, and then we got to stand, and then we got to walk, and then we have to run. See, we will rise. We're not losing this game. We're not losing this fight. We're not losing this race. We can do this. We can do this. I know it's hard. I know there's fear. I know there's people that have bad ideas. But we are a people who rise. We rise, and God is helping us to rise. He's helping us as he helped this early church, that we, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive and are left until the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven, and with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, the dead in Christ will rise, and then he will catch us all up in the air. See, we will rise. Not just rise from the beds and rise from the falls and rise from the sorrows and rise from the sadness and rise from being beat down. We will rise even off the face of the earth, those that are still here, when the Lord comes, and we'll meet him in the air. Imagine the sight of that. Imagine the wonderful moment of that, that all the things that have worried you in your life, you now are free to the tethers and the chains that have been binding you, and you are lifted up to God in the air, and you meet Jesus in the air. And the kingdom is taking place. This is what we believe. This is the belief in the teaching of our church. This is what we practice. We live this. That was that little poem, you know, that I had to memorize years ago, that there were some who said it couldn't be done, but he with a chuckle replied that maybe it couldn't, but he wouldn't be one who wouldn't say so till he tried. So he jumped right in with a grin on his face, and if he worried, he hit it, and he started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. There are thousands to tell you it cannot be done. There are thousands to say quit it, but jump right in with just a grin on your face, and if you worry, you hide it, and you start to sing as you tackle the thing that you couldn't. It just couldn't be done, and you'll do it. So what happened with the bully? Did he knock me down? Well, we never got to that, because I told him what my daddy said. I told the man, I said, if you knock me down today, I'll be back tomorrow. If you knock me down then, I'll be back the next day. I said, I'm going to be on you like dirt. I said, understand, I'm not giving up. You just go away. You're a bully. That's all you are. And he never knocked me down. So I never got to actually trying to get up again. But believe me, other things have knocked me down. Other things have hurt me. Other things have made me wonder. Sisters and brothers, the devil's trying to break our confidence in God. He's trying to make us wonder. He's trying to have us where we're afraid. I'm not afraid. Someone of ill intent comes, my advice is to run. But for those among us who will stand, we will stand. Have we already forgotten as a nation that one airplane that did not go to the city, that flight that landed and crashed into the field, and the ones who rose up to take back the plane from the bad people, that flight where they rushed the cockpit, they would not fall, even though they sacrificed their lives. They gave us the strength as Americans to be able to rise. Because if darkness has had its way, we would not be here today. Christians do not succumb. We will not bow down our heads to any man, only to Christ, the Son of God. And that's what our belief is that we're going to be caught up in the air, that the Lord is pulling us up. And even though the pressure and the gravity and sin and sorrow are pushing us down, we are being lifted up and we're called in between these two places in life. And that's what he's saying. After that, those who are still alive and are left will be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. And there is the church in the midst of that tension between being pulled up and the world pulling us down. Sisters and brothers, you know, I thought about the day would come that I would no longer walk this earth. I thought about doing my own funeral sermon and then recording it and playing it. First thing I would say, of course, is I told you so. Then I would remind people that this is a moment that it seems that the world had its way. But I want you to know I will not be there because I will be with him. I will be with him. I will be with the Lord. That is what I believe. That is what I know. That New Testament lesson was a powerful lesson. There's going to be many people who claim that they are part of the kingdom, but they will be too late. They'll knock on the door and say, "Let us in," and the Lord will say, "I don't even know you." That scripture, it speaks about how we are being called into this relationship of salvation with our Lord and Savior. I wept like a baby when I found out the fact of what took place in that church. I particularly was broken with the daughter of the pastor, 14-year-old daughter. They were out of town, and I thought about all the things that they're going to go through and they're going through today and how the media is there and people are saying this and saying that. And understand there was a lot of people who said those Christians deserved it. Understand that there wasn't the sympathy outpouring from this nation. They suddenly made it a political issue about a certain item or a certain idea or a certain teaching. They lost fact of what really took place. It was a massacre on the level of Nero killing early Christians. But we're told in Revelation that those that are in Christ, they will have clean, white robes. They will be hidden within the altar of God in heaven. That is what our hope is. Lord, help us to rise up when the world tries to beat us down, tries to kick us down, and tries to shoot us down. And Lord, call us up to be with you. Let us pray. As we go forth into this communion, let it be that it is a celebration of this hope we speak of resurrection. Jesus said, "You come and you partake of this." It is an open communion. Open to all who seek to earnestly repent of their sin and live in hearty union with each other. Lord, be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I invite those who are helping me today for word in table 3 on page 15 in the hymnal. On page 15. Great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. You can come up. Should take the other end of the cloth, lift it. Okay, thank you. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we ask the blessing of these elements that we may grow in grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On the night he gave himself up for us, he broke the bread. He gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the supper was over, he took the cup. And he offered this blessing. "This is my blood, which is poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink in remembrance of me." Amen. Serve you first. This is the body of Jesus. This is the blood of Jesus.